You know, as we come to the this part of the season, I know sometimes you can look at the last, I always get excited when I see that last full moon before the feast, knowing that we've only got a month away. Out here, we get some of those cold snaps where you know the fall is coming. We've already had one of those last week where it was actually chilly in the morning, and you know fall is approaching. The feast, in my mind, that means the feast is approaching. It's always an exciting time of the year, and it's also sometimes a difficult time of the year. It's a time that many of us experience trials. Many of us have to go through some sort of trial sometimes, and we have it maybe not every year, but many of the years preceding festival, the holiday festivals, we go through trials of some sort. We even throw a term around called pre-feast trials, because it seems to happen, the frequency of this seems to happen to many of us throughout God's church, preceding not just the fall holidays, but any holiday, any day that we are setting ourselves apart from this world to worship God. Well, you know, the very fact that these are happening gives credence to the fact that we are part of God's church, that we are following after God's commands, that we are following after God's way of life, because it angers Satan. Satan doesn't like to see what we are doing, doesn't accept what we are doing, that we are actually setting ourselves apart. It angers him. It makes him, it bothers him to the point that he will go before God maybe and try us, like he did Job, this righteous man that lived on earth. He went before God and asked and said, well, he's not really that righteous, when God kind of seated that question before him, that Satan said, well, you know, if you let me have a little turn with him, I can show you what this man really is like. Satan's doing the same thing for anybody that follows after God. Anybody that sets themselves apart from this world that's not following after Satan's way of life, Satan will go after people. He doesn't want to see that God's way of life is succeeding. His whole essence is revolting against God, is rebelling against God's way of life, and anybody that is not doing that is going to suffer trial, is going to suffer persecution, because we are living in a world ruled by Satan. You know, when we overcome these trials, any trials throughout the year, that, for that matter, but especially when we are preceding before we're these holidays, it's because we're following after the examples set by Christ, set before us. You know, God can say of us, then, as he did with Job, that we are those people, when we go out, when we complete these trials, that we are people, as he said in Job 1:9, which I'll kind of paraphrase, that we are people who fear God and shun evil. And that is key. Those are the kind of people that Satan's going after. Those that fear God and that do not take on the evil, that shun evil. Well, you know what follows with that kind of pronouncement? When God says that of us, Satan is going to be there wanting to give us more trials, or wanting to ask God to allow us or him to try us. And God allows, God sharpens, God knows us, God knows where we will fail, where he can, as far as we can be pushed. And God allows us to undergo trials so that we can strengthen ourselves, so that we can sharpen that iron, that we can profess his true way in this world. We know Satan continually is focused on God's people, trying to dissuade us, trying to bring us down. And I don't think it's, especially in this time of year, I don't think it's completely, Satan's efforts are completely focused on just trying to keep us from the feast, trying to ruin a connecting flight or give us a flat tire. That's not necessarily the purpose that we have these pre-feast trials. I think a lot of the focus is Satan trying to change our minds and hearts, desiring that we keep these days. He probably doesn't care if we go to these days as much as he would like to see us go to them with the wrong attitude. If he can't stop us from maybe going before God as we all are trying to do, maybe he can change our attitude and how we go before God. And that right there is even more disastrous sometimes than us not making it before the feast. it can be paramount to some of his deceptions before us. As we know that their attitude is critical before God when we're worshiping him. 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 11, we can see one example where attitude of how we go before God is incredibly important. 1 Corinthians 11, and starting in verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread, talking about the Passover, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Skipping to verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. You know, there are dire consequences for each of us for taking the Passover incorrectly. But it's also important that we don't enter into any of God's holy days with a bad attitude, with an incorrect attitude. In fact, it's paramount that we don't enter every day with a bad attitude. Because all of that, now there are pronouncements of what happens with the Passover, and that's a little different. But daily, if we are continually waking up with a bad attitude, continually trying to follow God, but doing it incorrectly with a bad focus in our minds, it will lead us to destruction. It will lead us away from God. We can become sick and weak when we start getting into a bad attitude, when we lose the focus that God wants us to have. And when we get into that state, our ability to discern truth from lies becomes faulty, becomes unreliable when we cannot discern what God wants us to do and what we shouldn't be doing, or what we should following the true path. You know, we are more susceptible at that point when we are weak, when we are sick, of not being able to return to God, of losing our inheritance, risking all that we are working towards. You know, Paul talked about this dangerous state of mind in 1 Timothy, starting in verse 4. Of what can happen to those who are weak, who just don't keep the focus of God in the forefront of their minds. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2, actually starting at verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, giving heed means careful attention, really focusing on people who have given up the focus on God and are really looking close at the doctrines of demons, on things that are not pointing towards God. Those people, they're speaking lies and hypocrisy. They are, these people know what they're doing, and it's searing their mind by rebelling against God, not following after. And it was talking about people with the faith, not just the mankind. Those of us who understand, who are willingly going and searing our minds, we become unuseful to God at that point. You know, if we're coming out of our trials with the wrong attitude, if we aren't successfully coming out of our trials even, we are failing our trials. If we have a bad attitude, if we aren't overcoming that which God is wanting us to overcome, to learn, to strengthen, then we are failing these trials. And, you know, just because a trial seemingly doesn't seem to end, doesn't mean, or seemingly ends maybe, seems like, well, we got over that flat tire, that one thing is finished. Whatever happens to us, that might seem like a big trial. Just because that's over doesn't mean that the trial is. There might be something more that we need to overcome and continually get into a state that we aren't building in with ourselves in our minds this bad attitude. You know, if we aren't building up through these trials, through these things we go through, a spiritual fortitude during this time, if we aren't strengthening while we're going through these trials, we're missing the point of them. You know, if we don't walk away from a trial with a deeper understanding of ourselves in some part, we are not seeing the bigger picture of why we maybe went through a trial. I mean, God is trying to refine us, trying to make us stronger, not trying to break us down. He wants us to overcome, to see these sins, these problems we have, and do away with them, to change, to turn and go forward constantly, not go back, as you know, turning with a plow. If we're not doing that, then we're stagnating. We're not growing, and that's what God wants of us. And again, if we're doing that, if we're stagnating, our eternal salvation is in jeopardy. Proverbs 6, starting at verse 23, you see some of the consequences of not overcoming a trial. Proverbs 6, and starting in verse 23. Now, this is talking about adultery, but you can substitute any type of sin, anything that brings us down, in the same context, and it applies. In verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp," and this is the key, this is a very key scripture. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." This is this frame of mind we need to have when we are confronted with trials, when we're confronted with Satan's world. Always remembering God's way of life is a light leading us. In verse 24, "To keep you," these things, being in that frame of mind, is to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life." Whatever sin it is going to bring us down, just like the sin of adultery does. This is, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared?" You know, can we, if we are putting ourselves in positions purposely, we are going, and in places we shouldn't be, in attitudes that we shouldn't be even, we're going to constantly fail because we aren't changing. We aren't, as any trial, with a trial we're supposed to change and move on to grow. If we keep putting ourselves back in the same position as something we're weak in, we're not going to, whatever we accomplished in the previous trial or in a trial is not going to stay with us. We're going to stagnate if we are just constantly, as it says, you know, burning our feet and wondering why it's happening. Well, we're sitting on coals. We're doing the same thing that has caused us to sin initially, and we have not learned if we have through the trials we've gone through. Continuing in 29, "So he who goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her shall not be innocent. For people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving, yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all his substance in his house." You know, we have to be willing to give up everything to follow after God and his way of life. Everything physical, that is, that gets in our way of the true spiritual understanding. 32, "Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away." This is talking about somebody that constantly goes back into their sins, does not learn from, you know, if they've had a trial to overcome something. And this is the thing that we read in Timothy. This sears your mind, sears your soul, as the Bible says, and this reproach will not be wiped away. It cannot be, because we will not want it to be wiped away. Our minds at this point, if we continue in this, will be seared. You know, trials that we fail to overcome can and will destroy our soul, and they will cause us to lose this inheritance, this promise that we all seek after. Not because necessarily that we failed a particular trial, because that we don't care anymore in overcoming it. We don't care in overcoming any particular sins we are going through. You know, if we fail to remove ourselves from our sins, we will have our conscience seared, and we will no longer be willing to have God as part of our lives. You know, hardness of heart plagued Israel throughout its generations. And not because they were so bad compared to the other nations around them, but it's because they became just like the other nations around them. They kept going back away from what God wanted them. God expected more of his people, as he expects more of you and I, brethren. He expected Israel, through his laws, through his interaction, to rise above the other nations, to be different, to be an example of his way of life, of a people following after his will. And Israel continually followed that trial because they kept going back to their old sins, back to their old gods. Well, brethren, he expects even more of you and I, especially in this season, especially as we set ourselves apart for these upcoming festival days. We cannot allow our hearts to be seared then as we go through these trials into a state of apathy, into a state of not caring. We have to always try to rise above, try to change with whatever we're faced with in these next few weeks. Because, brethren, there is so much promised to us, so much of this eternal life that we are promised, that we're looking forward to. So don't lose the desire to seek it.